You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Matthew, the first chapter, Matthew chapter 1. I want to start ministering today on a... It's going to sound kind of funny because I've been teaching for a month already in the Sunday school class, in our adult class, on Jesus and about the deity of Jesus. And we just started this month talking about the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus was not just God, He was also man. But He was God, and He was man. And so I'm teaching that in the adult class on Sunday mornings at 9:30. So we're on a series about Jesus in the adult class. I want to start a series about Jesus in the church. A little different than that series. And just talk about the uniqueness of Jesus. Here it is, Christmas season. We talk about the babe in the manger, you know, and actually the master in the manger, the creator in the crib. You know, he was God visiting us. We know that. And this time of year, you know, the world takes note and pays attention to Christianity, whether they believe it or whether they don't believe it. They have to hear it. They have to see the decorations and, you know, and see all the celebration that goes on. And it's a wonderful time to be a witness. Talk about Jesus. And I want to talk about His uniqueness, because a lot of people look at us from the standpoint of we're Christians. We're believers in Jesus Christ. They're Muslims. They're believers in the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad and Allah and His Prophet. And the Buddhists are necessarily believers per se, but they hold to the philosophy of Buddha. It's more like a philosophy, not a religion. Or Confucius, you know, the Tao, you know, some other Eastern religion. And we're Christians and we're a religion. But there's a vast difference between us and what we would call other religions. And that difference is Jesus. Jesus makes all the difference in the world. He's not in the same category as these other men. He's not a Buddha. He's not a Muhammad. He's not even a Moses of the Old Testament who brought us the law. Are you with me? And would be, you know, a prominent figure in Judaism. But Jesus doesn't fit that category. We can't say, okay, you're a Muslim, you're a Christian, I'm a Buddhist, and right on down the line. Because Jesus doesn't fit. He's unique in this respect, in many respects, but in this respect, He's unique because He was pre-announced. He was foretold for thousands of years, hundreds of years, down to, you know, from Genesis all the way to Malachi. He was talked about. He was talked about coming. He was told that He was coming. In great detail, He was talked about. There's not one word about Muhammad coming. Nobody ever talked about Buddha sitting under that tree, rubbing his belly. There were no announcements. There were no predictions about Confucius. Hello. So that sets Him completely apart when you think about Jesus. And it makes perfect sense when you think about the impact of what He has to say. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you put your whole trust in Him, that He came from God, that He died for your sins, that He rose again, and you are going to heaven on your faith in Him and what He did and what He said.
Yes.
Pretty powerful stuff when you think about it. Do you have reason to do that? Is it logical to do that? Well, now I'm talking outside the Bible for a moment when I say, is it logical and reasonable? But let me tell you something. Faith is reasonable, and God's Word is logical. I mean, think about it a moment. God's going to come and visit us. He's going to come and talk to us. He's going to present us with a way of salvation. A lot of people came and said they're from God. A lot of people come and said, I have a message from God. A lot of people came and said, I've been chosen by God. How are we to know? How are we going to know who's telling the truth and who's lying? I mean, isn't there something objective about this? Or just anybody that shows up and says, hey, I'm from God. We just have to accept them as being from God. Or, hey, we had a tongue interpretation. You know, anybody can get up and give a tongue interpretation. Doesn't mean it's from God. How do you know it's from God? Well, first of all, is it scriptural? Is it biblical? It's what's being said in line with the Word. Are you with me? Of course, in this case, that's not a problem. I mean, we heard that, felt a witness there, and it was scriptural what was interpreted there, what Eve interpreted, and that's fine. We have a judge. We have some way to look at this thing and say, hey, you know what? That's in line with the standard. It's in line with what has been written.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? And so we're not left our own opinion, our own idea, our own judgment, because everybody's got opinions, and everybody's got ideas, and everybody's got their judgment. Some people like peanut butter, some people don't. Some people like crunchy, some people like creamy. My house, I like crunchy. Brenda likes cream. I don't know why she likes cream and peanut butter, but she does, and I've said it, and there it is. Pray for me. Okay. She makes toast, peanut butter toast in the morning. I get crunchy, she gets creamy. She doesn't like crunchy, I don't like creamy. But I didn't marry her because she liked creamy or crunchy peanut butter. I married her because I love her, not her peanut butter, okay? But everybody's got taste. Everybody's got differences. Are you with me? Opinions and so on and so forth. Some people say this is the way to God. Some people say that's the way to God. Some people say, well, I believe in this religion. Some people say, I believe in that religion. Well, now, wouldn't it make sense that if God were going to come and visit us, he'd let us know he was coming, and he'd tell us something about who was coming, and he would tell us maybe where he was born, or maybe what he taught, or how he was going to die, or what his ministry was about, or give us some idea about him? Wouldn't that make good sense? I mean, just talking logically, just reasonably. Come on, we just walk up here and somebody says they're from God. How do we know? Is there any way we can find out, any way we can judge this? Because a lot of people say they're from God. People all the time come and tell us they heard God, maybe concerning us. Maybe they were praying, or maybe they had a vision, or had a dream, and they tell us God told them something about us. How do I know that's right? How do I know that's God? Come on. Well, it must be because they said it. Well, no, it has to be something beyond that. Listen, I hope you don't just believe what I say just because I said it. Don't trust me just because I'm a preacher, and surely I wouldn't lie. Well, I wouldn't intentionally do it, but I might do it out of ignorance. I might say the wrong thing and not know any better. Hello. And if you just trust me, you don't check out what I'm saying, then that's not logical. That's not reasonable to do that. So Jesus comes along and he says he's from God. But see, the difference between him and Muhammad and Buddha is that he came when the Scripture said he was going to come. And he came where the Scripture said he was going to come. And he said what the Scripture said he was going to say. And he ministered what the Scripture said he was going to minister. And he had enemies just like the Scripture said he was going to have enemies. And he was betrayed just like the Scripture said he was going to be betrayed, down to the minute detail of his best friend doing it and how much he got paid for it. And he died and he was crucified just like the Scripture said he was going to die and be crucified. Wow. Now, I might remind you, there's not one prophecy, not even one, on Muhammad. Nobody ever said he was coming. No one ever said he was going to be a preacher. No one ever said he's going to start this religion. No one ever said he was going to do this and do that and do it. There is no scripture concerning Muhammad. There's no prophecy. He was not announced. Not only was Jesus announced time and time and time again, you say, where's the proof? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, all the way through Malachi. Come on. Not only was that all pre-announced, but God even sent a messenger ahead of him, John the Baptist. Yes,
that's right.
And begin to preach his coming.
Yes.
And tell about this Lamb of God that was going to take away the sin of the world. Nobody ever said that about Buddha. No one ever said that about Confucius. Can you see the difference here? Totally different type of person, totally different type of religious leader, as it were, totally different situation. This just makes good sense. Jesus came in the fullness of time, just like God said he would. And he did just exactly what God said he would do. In fact, Jesus was just fulfilling Scripture. He was the embodiment of Scripture. He was, according to John 1:14, the Word made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Wow. He came right on time. Right in God's timing. And he fulfilled all that was said. He was prophesied. I like to think about Christmas from this standpoint. We often wait, you know, and talk about things being slow as Christmas. You know, man, that's as slow as Christmas. Because we're waiting all year for Christmas to come. Well, God talked about it 4,000 years before it happened. There's people that had to wait 4,000 years for Christmas. And then 1,000, then, you know, 500, then 400 years. I mean, over and over they were prophesying Christmas is coming.
Wow.
And finally it happened, and the angels of heaven came down, and man, they sang to the shepherds, Merry Christmas. Woo, hallelujah. But see, that sets Jesus apart. Notice Matthew. You found Matthew? I gave you plenty of time to get there. I just want you to track with me here. That's why I was just taking time explaining that. Does that make, I mean, doesn't that make sense? Does, I mean, anybody can come along and say, God told me this, or God sent me, or I'm the Christ, or I'm the Messiah. No, 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 no. Jesus, no, he was talked about, he was prophesied, it was written about him. I mean, even people that didn't worship Jesus knew about him coming. The wise men that came and saw his star, the scholars and the priests, the scribes in Jerusalem that didn't even worship Jesus knew about the prophecy and told them about the prophecy out of Micah 5, verse 2, incidentally. It says, out of Bethlehem of Judea shall come a governor, shall rule my people Israel, whose going forth had been from everlasting to everlasting. I mean, talked about the city where he's going to be born. To me, that's just amazing. I don't get into all those prophecies today. In fact, I'd like to get into that next week if we go that direction. But when you think about it, I mean, you could try to fulfill a lot of prophecies when you hear about, oh, he taught this. Well, I'll go teach that. But you go pick where you're born. That's a good one. Yeah. It's kind of hard to control that one. You're going to be born in a certain place. Yeah, I'll just fulfill that prophecy. I'm sorry, you're not even here yet. You know, you can't do that. And then even the way Jesus died, they didn't even crucify people back when it was prophesied he was going to die the way he did. That says not a bone was broken. It pierced his side and his hands, not a bone was broken. And that's exactly the way he died. Woo, hallelujah. So it says in Matthew, notice this. Notice the phraseology or the terminology that you see in Matthew. Matthew 1:18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And this tells the account of how Jesus was born. And he was born in Bethlehem. When you follow through, then you see all this. I mentioned this morning, actually, in fact, most of what I'm saying today, some form or fashion, came out of a book I read by a Catholic bishop named Fulton Sheen. He wrote a book called The Life of Christ. Awesome book. But, of course, I've heard some of these things and said a lot of these things that weren't in that book. But the basic sermon I'm preaching today came from that. But he said something I thought was really unique. He said, he that was in heaven without a mother was born in earth without a father. I thought that was pretty neat, because he didn't have a father on earth. He had a father in heaven. But he had no mother in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen? And he was born as earth. And of course, he's born of the Virgin Mary. And the angel, of course, appears to Joseph in a dream and assures him this is of the Holy Ghost. And the 21st verse says, and she shall bring forth a son, the angel talking to Joseph. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I'm probably going to minister on that in this series too, that we have a Savior. Hallelujah. I love that. He saved his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated or interpreted God with us. Think about that. Nowhere do you see Muhammad doing anything or anything happened in Muhammad's life in the Quran and saying all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet saying. Nowhere do you ever see Buddha saying anything or doing anything and then recorded here somewhere, it's written, it says, and all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Are you with me?
Amen.
But Jesus' life is one fulfillment after another of prophecy. See, Jesus was pre-announced. Jesus was foretold. Jesus, for years, hundreds, thousands of years, was told the manner of his birth, the place of his birth, the uniqueness of his birth, born of a virgin, Bethlehem, the place where he was born. And right on down this list, after this, over 300 prophecies specific to Jesus of things that he did and fulfilled. He was a fulfillment of Scripture. He was the Word made flesh. Wow. I don't know anybody can make that kind of claim. In fact, Muhammad never did make that kind of claim. Never would. Neither would Buddha or Confucius. Moses himself didn't make that kind of claim. Nobody could make that kind of claim except someone who really was from God. Someone who really did fulfill the criteria. Someone who really did have the credentials. I mean, if someone came over from another country as an ambassador from that country, he'd have to have some paperwork. He'd have to have some credentials proving he is from that nation and rightfully representing that nation. You know what? All that had to be written and handed to him before he got here, too.
Amen.
Wouldn't be a matter of fabricating all that after he arrived. He'd have to arrive with it.
That's right.
Or no nation anywhere would accept it. He'd have to be announced that he was coming, or no nation would accept it. Representatives from nations are foretold about they're told that they're coming. They're pre-announced that they're coming. And they've got credentials when they arrive to prove they're from where they said they're from. Woo.
That's right.
And Jesus did just that.
Amen.
He had all the proofs, he had all the credentials, and he was the fulfillment of Scripture. In fact, not to delve into really all the prophecies concerned here, but when the wise men went to, finally went to see him, they first found out what the Bible or the Scripture said about where he was born. And in the fifth verse it says, "So they said to him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you Bethlehem," sixth verse, second chapter, sixth verse, "but you Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd or rule my people Israel." And then it goes on, the prophecy goes on, says, "whose going forth had been from old, from everlasting to everlasting." Man, that's pretty powerful. So there in the second chapter, there's a fulfillment of Scripture. And then Herod got all upset and slaughtered all the babies. You remember that? From 2 years old and under, because of the threat of this king. He took the prophecy so seriously, although not a worshiper of Jesus, he took the prophecy so seriously that he thought his kingdom was in danger and his position or office was in danger, the competition of another king, that he went out and slaughtered all the babies from 2 years old and under. Wow. And it says when he did that, excuse me, when he did that, 17th verse, "then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying." But see, this is what you see through here over and over concerning Jesus, especially here in Matthew, that he was a fulfillment of, he did this that he might fulfill the prophecy. And this was spoken by the prophet. And all this was done to fulfill. Now this kind of terminology you don't see in Buddha's writings or his teachings or Confucius' teachings or the Quran concerning Muhammad. But this is exactly what you see about Jesus. So don't throw him in that category. He won't work. "Oh, we believe in Jesus, they believe in it." Oh, no, 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 no. We have every right and reason to believe in Jesus. In fact, it'd be pretty unreasonable not to believe in Jesus. It does not even make good sense to not believe in Jesus. It is illogical to not believe in someone who has had so much validation, so much confirmation, so much prophecy, so many predictions that he fulfilled. Man, I'm telling you what, it didn't even make good sense not to believe in Jesus. And most of us didn't believe in Jesus because we didn't have any sense. Yes, we took it on faith, but I'll tell you what, the more you get into it, the more you study it, how could we have been so blind? Man is without excuse. I really believe that when man stands before God, God's going to say, "What in the world could I have done? What else could I have done? I gave you book after book, prophecy after prophecy. It was fulfilled in Him. You read it. It was there. You could have read it. You never searched it out. I told you what He looked like. I told you what He'd say. I told you where He'd be born. I told you how He'd die. I told you things He'd do."
Uh-huh.
Come on, man. Are you with me? How can we miss that?
Amen.
We didn't check into it. We weren't listening. We weren't reading. We weren't searching. We weren't seeking. There's none that searcheth after God. If you search Him, you will find Him. And there's ample evidence of Jesus. Amen? So, He was pre-announced. He was He was a fulfillment of Scripture. And I could just take that and just go for months just on that. But that alone, it would be enough. But think about this. I thought this was good. I read this right out of that book. The way it was said was, I love the way it was said. When Jesus came, I'm going to flower it up a little bit here, He struck history with such an impact that He split it in two.
Amen.
We're living in the year of our Lord, A.D.
Amen.
And everything prior to Jesus is B.C. Are you with? They even tried to move that, mess that up because they don't like the attention we're getting toward Christ, and so they started calling it B.C. and then C.E. in a lot of history books. B.C. meaning before the common era, B.C.E., and then the common era, C.E. The common era. Well, I think it's an error to say it that way. But even then, they still go back to Christ. They just don't give Him the credit that's due. Are you with me? That's in recent history now, very recent history. They've tried to change A.D. and B.C., B.C. and A.D. In their history books and their archaeology reports and so on and so forth. They'll say B.C.E. and C.E. But still, they have to go back to this man Jesus. They got to go back to Him because that's where it all started. So the common era, E-R-A, starts with Christ. And before the common era was before Christ. No matter what they want to call it, He hit history with such a force and such an impact that He split it in two.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Amen.
We're not living in B.B. before Buddha. Or A.B. after Buba, or Buddha or whatever. I mean, do you see what I'm saying here? Maybe our morning and night's that way. A.M., that's after Muhammad, and P.M., no, that wouldn't work either. But anyway, we're living in time that is governed, engaged, and recorded off His life.
That's right.
Before Him, after Him. That's not a little thing. Although people just say it every day and don't even think about it. He made such an impact, He affected the whole world as we know it in the way that we gauge and govern and record time.
That's right.
Nobody ever did that. No religious leader I know of. Hello. So think about that. He's pre-announced. He split time in half. And here's another difference I think is significant. In fact, turn to Romans 5. This is interesting. This is the uniqueness of Jesus. These are reasons to believe. And there's lots of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, goodness. I mean, I know him. I've met him. He's a person, not just a doctrine. But there is no reason not to believe in Jesus. That's the point I'm making here. And the point that the Scripture makes over and over and over. And God made it very plain. And He left no strings untied. He seamed it all up when He sent Jesus and made sure that we would be without excuse in accepting or rejecting Him. So we'd all know that without a doubt that He was the man. He was the one that God foretold would come. I love that. And even this obscure little country of Palestine, this obscure little sect of Christians, this obscure little rabbi called Jesus, we're living in the year of our Lord right now. I just think, what an obvious in-your-face fact that we look at every day when we write down the date. And yet, we've missed it. We've missed the impact of this person, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, Jesus. He is so unique. No, don't tell me you believe in my, I believe in Jesus. You believe in my, oh, come on. That didn't even fly. We're not even in the same class here. Jesus is not some teacher, some preacher, some prophet. He's God in the flesh.
Amen.
He came to redeem the world. In fact, notice it says here in Romans 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet still without strength, in due time or in the time, Christ died for the ungodly." Look at the 8th verse. "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Let me tell you something about Jesus. Muhammad may have brought some teaching and enforced some rules. Buddha may have given us a good moral rule to live by, ethical teaching, philosophy. Confucius might have come up with some good little pithy sayings and he might live a decent life by following some of his teaching and the way he talks about morals and so on and so forth. But we didn't need someone to teach us more about life, and we didn't need a guide to guide us along life's way. And we didn't need a better example to follow. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. Moses came and said some things. Muhammad came and shared some things. Buddha came and shared some things. Confucius came and shared some things. Jesus came and died for our sins.
Yes, amen.
Are you with me? So enough of this. You believe in Muhammad. You believe in Jesus. You believe... No. He doesn't fit that mold at all. Not at all. Jesus came with the intent and purpose of dying for our sins. Muhammad didn't come to die. Moses didn't come to die for anybody. Buddha didn't come to give his life for anybody. Confucius never came and sacrificed himself. Jesus came with one purpose and one intent, and that was from the day he was born to die for your sins. His whole mission was to come and give his life for us. Woo! This Jesus? Oh, there is nobody like this Jesus. There is no religion. I don't even dare say religion because Christianity is not a religion. It's the truth. But there is no religion like Christianity. There is no leader like our leader.
Amen.
He doesn't fit that mold. In fact, Romans 8. Romans 8. I'll have to stop on this point and just go to another one. There's so many. Romans 8, verse... 33, that's a good one. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't just die, he rose from the dead. I love that. He's alive. You know, Moses didn't rise from the dead. Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. Buddha's tomb is not empty. Look at the 14th chapter. Y'all getting stirred up, Zion?
Yes, sir. Good.
Man, I just love it. 14th chapter. And I challenge you. You know, just take what I'm saying and go look. These are just a few scriptures that say these things. These are just a few prophecies that I've talked about here. Just a few points. And we'll go through. You know, I've expounded greatly on some of these things I read in that book. But, you know, put a lot of scripture with it. But and there's four things I'm saying here. But there's many more than four things that make Jesus unique. He's not just a religious leader. Don't even go there. Come on, man. Don't even go there. That won't work. 14th chapter, found there? 14th chapter, notice in the 9th verse it says, "For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." Boy, I love that. What was the end? What would he came for? To this end he came and died. Yeah. He came to die for us.
Yes.
Now think about it. He's pre-announced. That separates him for sure. He split history in half. Come on. That's no minor thing there. He came to die for our sins. Oh, man. You know, that's nobody's like that. What are you talking about? There are no religious leaders that do that. Not amongst the major religions of the world, what you'd call major religions. No, he doesn't. Doesn't fit that mold. And then that's probably the fourth point, is that he does not fit in the category of a religious teacher. He was a prophet, yes. He was a rabbi, yes. He did have moral teaching, no question. But he said things that they don't say. I am the Son of God. Honor me like you honor the Father. Eat my body, drink my blood, or die. Before Abraham was, I am. Are you kidding me? Muhammad never said anything like that. Buddha, Confucius, or even Moses now. I like Moses, stay with me. But he was a prophet, he wasn't Jesus. I like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. I like Peter, Mary, and I like Paul. I love them all. But they're not nothing like Jesus. They didn't talk like he talked. They didn't claim to be God, the Son of God. He does not fit that mold. In fact, look at Luke 1. Oh, I got to close this out. Goodness gracious. Luke, first chapter. Is this helping you? Luke 1. And my, you're just throwing some scriptures together here. There's so many we haven't even, we don't have time to even touch here. Oh, he was a good man. No, he wasn't a good man. No, he wasn't just a good man. Can't say that. Can't say that. Well, he's a good teacher. Well, no, wait a minute. Good teachers don't lie, do they? If he said he was God and he wasn't God, and you say he's just a good man, then you say he was a liar. Now, I know that's not true. I know he's not a liar. I know he's not lying when he said that. But what I'm saying is, if you say he's just a good man, then you're telling me you believe he lied. Because he said he was God. Y'all catching this? You follow me with me here. So we don't have that option. You can't say, well, I believe he's a good man. I believe he's a good man. What, so you believe he lied when he said he was God? Because you don't believe he was God. And you may say, well, maybe he thought he's God. Oh, so you believe he was a lunatic then? You thought he was a good man, but he was psycho. Are you with me?
Amen.
You're saying he thought he was God, but he wasn't. Good man. Good crazy man. I'm not blaspheming. What I'm arguing with is argument. I know he's God. I know he wasn't crazy. And I know he wasn't a liar. So there is what is called a trilemma. They call it a trilemma in argument about Jesus. If Jesus was just a good man and said he was God, knew he wasn't, then he was a liar. If Jesus was was a good man and thought he was God but wasn't, then he was a lunatic. If Jesus was more than just a good man and really was God, then he's Lord.
Amen.
So either you think he's a liar, or you think he's a lunatic, or you think he's Lord, but there are no other options. Are you with me? There are none. You cannot say he was a good man and not say he's God. You cannot do that, because then you're saying he's a liar or he's a lunatic. There's only one option here for me, and I took it years ago. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. He's God. Hallelujah. See, he doesn't fit the mold of Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius and Moses. No, he is not a just teacher of religion. He didn't say, here's a way, follow it. He didn't say, here's some life, come get it. Here's the truth, get a hold of it. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Wow. No, not Muhammad. No, no, no. That's not what we're... No, no, no. This is nothing like that at all.
Glory.
Woo! Did I tell you to turn somewhere? Yeah, Luke 1. Yeah, Luke 1. Man. I want to stir you. We ought to be stirred as Christians. We ought to be confident as Christians. We ought to be bold as Christians. We ought to be bold in our faith. We have reason to believe. We have many reasons to believe. Notice this in the first chapter of Luke. This is the angel Gabriel announcing to Jesus, announcing to Mary the coming of Jesus, excuse me. And I like it. I like this. I think this is good because it's almost like God's looking for somebody to work with him here, looking for somebody to cooperate with him here. This is free will. This is a joint effort. He needs someone to give birth through, to be born through. And he's waiting on Mary to say, be it unto me according to thy word. And she did that. He came in this world by choice. Somebody chose to let him in, as it were. Somebody said, yeah, me, take me, use me. I'll be the one. And so he announces this to Mary, and he says this, just 32nd verse, just so powerful. He says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Man, what an announcement, but what a declaration that he's the Son of the Highest. No, this is not just a good man. He doesn't fit that mold. He does not fit in the category of religious teachers, prophets, apostles, and leaders. Jesus doesn't fit that. He is a round peg in a square hole. You can't throw him in that bunch. because he doesn't fit that mold. The things that were said about him, the things he said about himself, and I don't have time to get into here over and over and over, that Jesus said, the declarations he made, declarations that were made about him. No. He was God in flesh. Yes. God visited us in Jesus Christ. And then he left, and he's coming again.
Amen. That's right.
He's coming again. God has never lied about anything. He didn't lie about Jesus coming the first time, and he's not lying about him coming again. He is coming again. It's not going to be Buddha sitting on that throne. And it won't be Muhammad calling you home. And it won't be Hare Krishna playing that trumpet tune. It'll be Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, you know, he's unique. He's unique. We've got reasons to believe. Amen.